We're going to move to James 2 this morning, James chapter 2. Would you join me in prayer one more time? Lord, we ask that you would capture our attention, that you would help us to get deep into your word. Hebrews says your word is living and active, and so we ask that you would activate your word in our hearts and minds, and that you would transform us this morning. Help us to have the capacity to leave this place in a better condition than when we came in. And we ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe that could happen? You could leave in a better condition than you were when you came in. Amen. Sometimes our cars are in better condition than they were. Occasionally you have something go wrong with it. I have a van, and I still can't remember if it's struts or shocks. But the device that keeps the hood or the trunk up, was it strut, keeps the trunk up when you open the back of the van up, went on our van, I don't know, a few weeks ago or so. And so during the interim of time that we were waiting for the appointment for them to get fixed, you'd have to lift it up, climb underneath it, hold it up with your back, mess with the groceries, sit on the ground, pick it up again, try to not get crushed under it when you get out of the way, and then gently put it back down. And I didn't realize how heavy that thing was. You know, because before when it had the struts working, it's just like, you know, staying out of the way, and it does it on its own. It's like, look how strong I am. When there's no struts working, that is heavy. I mean, I was able to lift it. I had to exert myself, though. That piece of equipment is heavy. And we have a lot of things like that we live with today, technology that makes things easier. Anybody know some pieces of technology that makes our lives easier? In fact, we are so far into that technology revolution that there's some technology that has been around us our whole lives. And so we don't even realize how much technology is making things easier for us. Like, has your power steering ever gone out before? Anybody remember a day that you had a model that didn't have power steering in it? I think our forearms were probably stronger back then, because it takes a lot of strength to move that car, and we just move it with ease today because technology is empowering that. I mean, you still have to steer it, but technology is empowering that. Have you ever felt like it can be daunting or difficult to live your life out according to God's plan? To make sure that you're not acting or operating in the flesh, to make sure your faith is of a certain stature, to overcome certain things, or even some routine things sometimes. Seems like you just have to keep mustering up a lot of strength or energy to do that. And I just wish sometimes it would be easier, right? Easier to overcome certain things, easier to have a certain outlook and attitude, easier. We'll merge them together. We're working in our faith. But Jesus invites us to that kind of ease, you know, because he says, take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But for some reason, that doesn't translate always into our lives where this doesn't seem easy. And this doesn't seem light. So how do we get to a place where it actually is easier to follow the Lord and lighter to follow the Lord? How do we embrace that? Wouldn't you want that, right? He's offering it to us, easier and light. Part of it is understanding what's in it for us. And right there, we'd be tempted to try to push back on that because we want to be God-centered, not self-centered. But the whole biblical message is filled with what's in it for us. Joe even referenced that earlier. Peace that surpasses all understanding is available. The joy unspeakable and filled with glory. Or the power and presence and comfort and counseling of the Holy Spirit. Or the provisions that God provides. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Or even just simply eternal life. That today you will be with me in paradise, that he who drinks from this water will never thirst again. And so the Bible is filled with that message about what is in it for me. And what is in it for us is absolutely everything. Eternal life and salvation in paradise, God's blessings, God's benefits, his Holy Spirit, all of those things are available for us. this stability, this rock-solid footing that we could stand on, that we could withstand. What does Jesus talk about? Building your house on the rock and not on the sand, so that when the winds and the waves come, you are able to be sturdy and stable. So how do we receive that stability in our lives? And sometimes we would think, because a lot of it has to do with the way that we're walking with Him, that we sometimes think that God's kind of like waiting to lay out consequences on us. You know, like, I'm just waiting for you to fail, and then I'll give you consequences. And if you do the right thing, I'll give you rewards. And it almost sounds like that's what's being conveyed to us, that there's this reward system and this consequence system. And that's a misunderstanding. It looks similar on the outside, but it's not a reward consequence system where God's just saying, do the right things and I'll give you rewards. Do the wrong things and I'm going to, you know, discipline you. But it's actually a matter of design, that if I live according to God's design for my life, that's where all of those blessings flow from, is by stepping into that design. And when I step outside of that design, then that's when everything starts to fall apart. But what's confusing is sometimes when I'm in God's design, there are still some things that fall apart. But there's a certain way to embrace that. But we often don't want to live according to God's design. You know, what we want is, give me all the blessings without having to be in God's design. But God says I have to be inside of His design to get all of those blessings. But there are some aspects of God's design that we don't fight against. Like, your body was wired to keep wanting more food, and then more food and more food. And your body was designed to really like food going in. Unless something's wrong with your digestive system, then maybe you don't like it. But that's because something's wrong. Your body was designed to enjoy food. And I never hear anybody say, I can't believe I have to eat more food. I'm so disappointed that I have to eat some dessert. This stuff tastes so good and it's so horrible I have to put it in my mouth. I never hear people complain about that design. And there are all kinds of designs that God has made that we are completely fine with. But for some reason, there are other aspects of the design that we're very resistant to. But if we step inside this design, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the joy unspeakable and filled with glory, the victory, the empowerment, the eternal life, all of those things are right inside of this design. But how do I get inside of that design? And James talks about it. First, it has to do with the way we view things, the way we view our lives and the way we view our circumstances. Because when we suffer, and you will suffer, right? Anybody can say amen? If you woke up this morning and you're aging, you were suffering when you got out of bed, right? In this world, you will suffer. But if we understand why we're suffering and what the end of that suffering is, we can make it more palatable to us because we understand what's going on. If we understand why we're here and what's the point of this life and what's going on, then that gives us some ability to be able to yield to His plan. But also when we yield to His plan, some people make up God's plan. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Some people say this is what God's plan is, and you hear it and you're like, you are outside of your mind. That is not God's plan. You just pulled that out of thin air. Some people do that. And that happens more often, unfortunately, in Pentecostal circles like ours, where people just make it up, they wing it, and say, that must have been God. But God actually has a plan that has been revealed clearly to us in the Word of God. And so the way we live according to God's design is by knowing, understanding, and being doers of that Word. But because God knows, and James knows, that you and I are ornery. Look at the person next to you and just give them the weird eye, okay? That person is something up with it. And I see the sisters here. Raybell's like backing out of the way between Arlene and Jackie over there. Because we are scoundrels. We try to justify ourselves and rationalize things. We try to get out of stuff, you know? Like, my kids will do that sometimes. Like, don't throw things in the house. Okay, and then they'll start tossing something like they're juggling it, and then they'll drop it, it'll go flying across the room. Well, I wasn't throwing it. I was tossing it, you know? So we do that. We read God's Word, and we say, I got it, God. I'll do your design. And then we just kind of make stuff up still, even though the Word. So he knows that about us. So he brings cross-checking in. And so part of the cross-checking last week was, if you are living by God's design, you will really, 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 really value people. every single person around you. If you are really living by God's design, you will value, highly value, every single person that you come in contact with. But also, the other cross-check is that if you are really living by God's design, then you will actually find it a little easier to do. You will find that praying is easier to do, worship is easier to do, obedience is easier to do if you are living by God's design. But part of the reason some of us don't have that ease, that some of us don't have that light-heartedness to it, is because we aren't actually understanding what faith is. And that's going to be the key for us this morning, is if I can understand what this faith is that I claim to have actually is, then I will have that easy and light aspect to this faith. So are you ready to make things a little easier? Remember Staples? Was that Staples that had that commercial, the easy button? You know, you just push the button, it makes it easy. So we're going to see if we have the easy button today, and it starts with understanding the nature of our faith. You ready for this? Okay, so verse 14 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" So faith understands the design. So not only do we need to step into the design, but faith understands the nature of the design. Faith without works is dead. If someone practiced faith without works, can that faith save him? Does that faith actually achieve anything? Does that faith actually make something happen if there aren't any works that are taking place that are following through with that faith? We know this to be true in an earthly sense, right? If someone says, I want to have a healthy body, and then they're eating ice cream at McDonald's all the time, and they're never moving their body around, and they're just like just kind of trashing this thing, you know? And then it gets bigger, and then it hurts more, and then they're wondering why they have cholesterol, right? Because they're thinking, well, I believed for a great body. But the actions, because the design that God put us in is that our actions, our behavior, has a direct relationship with outcomes. People do that with money all the time, too. You know, I just believed that I was going to have enough, and so I just spent it all. Every time I had it, I just spent it. And then when I ran across hard times, I had no money left, and I thought, I don't know what's going on. I had faith. I believed it. It's because you watch people, right? You can watch people and go, that person is in for a hurting someday financially, right? And you can watch other people, and you can say, that person, he's going to be okay. And why do you think that? Because of their behavior. You do it socially. People think that people are just going to like me no matter what. Even if when I interact with people, I'm like, leave me alone. What's wrong with you? I can't stand to be around people. Or I'm emotionally unstable and erratic, and no one knows ever what to expect from me. And then I think, why don't I have any friends? Because our actions have a direct relationship to outcomes. The same is true spiritually. Because it says, faith without works is dead. I can say all I want that I believe Jesus, but if I don't actually do anything with what I say I believe, then it's useless. It's as if it's dead. Can that kind of faith save you? And so here is James saying, you say you believe, where's your prayers? Where's your study of God's word? Where's your holiness? Where's your engagement in the mission? Where's your engagement in the church, in the body of Christ? Where is your giving? Where are all those things? Because faith, can that kind of faith save you? Because faith understands there's a direct connection between my behavior and the outcomes of my behavior. But there's a dilemma. Verse 24. You see that a person is justified by faith or by works and not by faith alone. Now, before you get alarmed about the apparent contradiction in Scripture, we'll get there momentarily. But is a person justified by faith alone? James says, no, not by faith alone, but by works he's justified. Now, I want you to notice a bit of a time delay there, because what that's saying is, I believed something, and then the fulfillment of that thing happened later, and I was justified for my faith in the past because the thing happened later. You see, faith understands that there is a direct relationship to behavior and outcomes, but there is also, at times, a time delay to the outcomes. And that's the frustrating part, right? Because it would be easy if we said, Lord, I need more money, and then we check the bank account, and there it is. $3,000 more. Awesome. You know, if we said, Lord, I'm hurting, I need healed, and then as soon as I said it, it was gone, the pain was gone. But that's not how it usually happens. There is a delay to this. Sometimes the delay is only within our lifetime, and weeks, months, years later, we see a fulfillment to our faith in action. Other times, it reaches all the way into eternity, because faith understands that this outcome, result type thing spans beyond our earthly life. That we're not expecting all the fulfillment to take place here. We know that some of it's going to take place after we die. Faith understands that. And if, this is where this works, if I have that kind of faith, then when everything does fall apart, I'm not falling apart because I know this isn't going to stay this way because I have the kind of faith that believes that I'm being faithful to God, I'm living according to His design, and great things are coming to me. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not even in this earthly lifetime, but one day I'm going to walk the streets of gold and all of the things are going to be resolved, and I know that He is with me through every bit of it because I have faith. And faith understands that there's a direct relationship between behavior and outcomes. Also, faith understands the implementation of this design. Verse 19, don't get excited to go all the way through 19 yet. We'll get there in a moment. Don't ruin the cliffhanger. Verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well. Stop there. You believe that God, you have believed something, that's good. It's good for you to believe something in your mind and heart. In fact, the example that he gives us, Abraham in verses 21 to 23, Abraham believed, and even Hebrews goes back to this, Abraham believed that if God called him to sacrifice his son and God promised his son, God is going to resurrect that son. Abraham believed, before he did anything with his son, Abraham believed God is faithful and God is all-powerful. Rahab, the harlot, she believed that God was with those Israelites and God is for them. And if anybody's connected with those people, God will be for them also. Rahab believed that first before she did anything. It started within her mind. And so if we're going to have faith that has to start there, I have to actually believe this stuff. I actually have to believe it's real, believe it will actually have an outcome. I have to believe that. However, this is the exciting part of verse 19. You ready? You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So good job. You've achieved so much faith that you're at equal status with demons. Congratulations. And why does it say that they believe that and shudder? Because they realize that they're still not safe before God. They're trembling. They're timid about it. And so even the demons believe, but they're not okay. But why? Because Abraham believed God in his mind and heart first, but then what? He went through with trying to sacrifice his son. Rahab believed God in her heart and mind, but then what? Then she was willing to risk her life to take in the enemy into her home to help them spy on her own nation. She actually acted upon it because faith understands the implementation of this design is that I believe it here first, but then I actually do something with what I believe. If you believe that 11:15, this building was going to explode and you didn't want to explode, you wouldn't be in this building at 11:15. You would act upon your belief because you really believed it, so you would really do something about it. However, in verse 18, it says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 22, you see that faith was active along with his works and faith was completed by his works. Do you notice the relationship between faith and works there? Faith understands that the works is not the faith. The works is a separate thing from the faith. Works is not the faith. However, works shows that I have faith. Works demonstrates that. We know this in our experiences. If someone says they love you, but they treat you like garbage, do you believe they love you? Because their works demonstrate where their heart actually is. But if someone says they love you and they demonstrate it, they are showing you their love by their what? By their works. Okay, so faith understands that I have to believe it first, it moves to action, and then I demonstrate it. The works aren't my faith, but they demonstrate that I have faith. 15 and 16. Verse 15, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Now, when he says, go in peace, be warmed and filled, what action is that individual doing at that time? Is he just saying, I'm telling you, just go take care of your problem? When someone says that, go in peace, be warm and filled, what is that person doing? They're praying. They're praying that something would happen for that person. And James is criticizing this person's prayer because this person prayed that something would happen in that person's life while having the ability to make that happen in their life, and that person stepped back and said, all I'm doing is praying. Could you imagine if you were stranded on the side of the road and someone pulled up and they had a vehicle and they were able to pick you up and they said, hey, I feel sorry for your situation here, and they had all kinds of space in their vehicle to give you a ride, and their end was, I'm going to pray that God would give you a ride. And then they hop in their vehicle and they leave without you. Because that's not, something's wrong there, right? And it's nothing against praying. We should pray. But faith understands that when I have faith, I don't just pray for things. I pray for things and then I fully step into God's design and I do everything that he's expecting me to do with this. So for example, because faith keeps moving towards fulfillment is the point of that. And when I say move towards it, it means sometimes it's not experiencing fulfillment, but it's always actively pursuing it because it believes I'm getting this fulfillment, so I'm going to go after that thing. So if I say, Lord, please take care of my finances, give me a better financial situation, but I keep making a bunch of bonehead decisions about my finances while praying, God, fix my finances, that's not faith. Faith does this. Faith says, Lord, fix my finances and show me what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to start cutting back on expenses. I'm going to find a way to increase my income. I'm going to get a better job. I'm going to make some smart maneuvers here. Why? Because I believe that God is going to fix this thing. It's not that I believe I'm going to fix this thing. I believe that God is going to fix this, but I'm going to actually do something because I believe in him. It's the person who doesn't believe him that cowers in fear saying, Lord, please help me. I'm so scared. But the person of faith, just like the people of Israel, they didn't say, Lord, just take care of those enemies and we'll just sit back and watch it. What did they do? They went and fought. They fought for what they believe was theirs because God told them the promised land is yours. They had faith, and so they fought for it. And so you can say, Lord, please give me a better health situation. But if you don't move your body at all and you keep eating ice cream every night, I know it tastes so great. I love ice cream, right? But I haven't had any ice cream for a while. I'm probably going to have some today, but I don't have it very often. And I could eat, like, you're looking at the guy who, if you know they sometimes they have the big tub ice creams. You know, not just the facade of a half gallon. You know how it used to be an actual half gallon, and before you know it, it's actually like, I don't know, like, I don't know how big that is. They're like, this is a gallon of ice cream, and then, or like potato chips are like that. This is a full bag, and it's like, you know, that much of the bag. But I could eat a whole tub of those things, and plus load up whipped cream on it and chocolate syrup and all kinds of stuff. But if I have faith for a better health, better body, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to eat garbage. I'm going to work this body out some. I'm going to actually do something. I'm going to go to the doctor because faith for some people says, I'm going to avoid the doctor and hope everything's fine. But faith says, I think something's wrong and I believe God's going to heal me. I'm going to go and talk to that doctor about this situation. I'm going to face it because I have faith and I'm going to act upon it. Faith does the same thing with relationships. Faith asks for better relationships and doesn't hide in their home. But faith says, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make some friends. I'm going to ask people over to my house. I'm going to go call them. I'm going to be nice to them. I'm going to be polite and respectful. I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to actually do stuff to have this relationship because this is what faith does. Faith moves towards fulfillment. If you have faith, real faith, then that's the way your mind works. God has that for me, and I'm going to go after that thing because God has that for me. But there's something happening in the midst of this passage that on the superficial level looks like a contradiction. Because did you hear James say in verse 21 that we are justified by works? Now, if you're familiar with your Bible, you immediately think of a contradiction to that. Because Paul often talks about that we're not justified by works, but by our faith. But James is saying we're justified by works. Or we're justified by faith alone, we see in Paul's epistles. But what does James say in 24? We are not justified by faith alone. So is James and Paul in disagreement with one another? And they're writing scripture. So is God disagreeing with himself? What's happening there? Faith understands that to a deeper level of what's actually taking place in that seemingly contradiction. You ready to find out what's going on with that contradiction? Okay, we're going to walk through some of Paul's statements and see what was actually being said by Paul. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, Paul says this, again, seeming to contradict James. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now, immediately right there, we see the possible contradiction, right? Do you see it there? However, if we were to keep reading, you know what Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 10? He says this, for we are his workmanship, creating in Christ Jesus for what? For good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you are not saved by works, but you were designed, you were created to walk in those works. And so when Paul says you're not saved by works, he is in no way saying that you're not supposed to be doing the works. And do you see that design there? You were created to do good works. It's almost like, have you ever been in a lazy river? Isn't that's so relaxing, right? And one of the things that's great about it, it depends on your likes, right? But one of the things that's great about it is there is an ease to it because they have this current flow that's going through there. And as long as you get positioned right, you can just chill out and you keep going downstream, right? You don't have to exert that much energy to do it. You're just going downstream. Unless, like there's a few things. Like you just can't like sit halfway on the ledge and put one foot in a raft and think you're going to go downstream. You have to actually get into the raft to go downstream. Or you can't just stand in the water, right? But if you walk, that's an easier walk. You're not actually exercising when you're walking in that thing, right? Because there's something that's pushing you forward. It's easy. But if you plant your feet down, you're not going anywhere. Because that current's not strong enough to force you against your will to move forward. Or if you're in the raft and you want to go right, you know, because the waterfall's over here and you don't want to get sucked under the waterfall, so you want to go right. The stream, the current's not going to just take you right. You have to actually like move your arms a little bit. Or maybe there's like a bunch of crazy kids that are fighting over there and you're trying, how do I get around them? And the current sometimes will just throw you right into them. So you have to actually do something. But it's not hard. Right? It's not hard to get over there because you just need to do a little bit. That's what's happening with this faith thing is God has given you all the power, all the assurance, all the know-how, all the revelation, all the strength, all the provisions to do it. You just have to actually step into the current and flow. And so Paul is saying you're not saved by works. You just have to step into the current. And once you step into the current, it doesn't take much. Little adaptation every once in a while, but you're just flowing with the current. Let's see some more contradictions. Titus 3, verse 5. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So again, we are not saved by works, but James says we're justified by works. So does that mean that I don't have to do anything? Well, interestingly enough, so that's verse 3. Now, I do want to note that I think in some of your notes it says chapter 1 in Titus, but it's actually all of it's chapter 3. Verse 5 is where he says that. You know what he says in verse 1? Remind them to be submissive to our rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. So when he says you're not saved by works, that's right after he just said, do the works. Okay, so not being saved by works doesn't mean he's saying don't do the works. In fact, in verse 8, he says, the saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things so that those who believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to what? Good works. And then if you go into verses 9 through 11, you would see that you get more instructions for holy living. And so telling us we're not saved by works does not mean God doesn't expect obedience from us. He still expects us to live according to God's design. We're just not earning salvation by doing God's design. Also, verses 4 and 5 in Titus 3 says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us." What happened? How did the transformation take place? When God stepped into my life in his goodness and in his character. Also, in verses 6 to 7, describing the Holy Spirit's work, says, "Whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." How did that happen? Because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Do you see the design here? Okay, it's not that nothing's supposed to happen because I'm saved not by works but by faith, but it's because God has stepped into my life, I want to step into everything that he's doing. And when I do that, you know what takes place? Works. When I step into this, stuff begins to happen. That's why Paul says in Galatians that there is the fruit of the Spirit, right? When I step in, these things just begin to show up. Now, sometimes I need to interact with it. You know, I need to paddle this way or that way. I need to respond. But that's not me saving myself. That's me experiencing God's work in my life. If you struggle with that, often it's because there's some kind of disconnection in our relationship with the Lord. When we struggle, when we sin or give in to temptation, we're not supposed to be looking at that and say, "How can I fix that?" We're supposed to look at that and say, "What's wrong with my connection with the Lord? What's wrong with my faith? How am I viewing this? Something's not right. I need to step back into the design." Romans 3, verse 20. "Or by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight." Romans 3, 28, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." So again, James says we're justified by works, but Paul says we're not justified by works. Now, have you ever heard somebody use a term and you thought, that's not the way I would use that term? Have you ever had that? Like you talk and then you finally figure out they mean something different than I do when they use that word. And then once you figure that out, you know what's happening, right? So James and Paul are both using that word, justification, but they're asking different questions regarding justification. Because Romans 3, verse 25 says this, "Because in his divine forbearance," the reason why we're justified not by works, "because in his divine forbearance, he has passed over former sins." The reason why we're justified only by faith is because works can't earn us any forgiveness. I can't do enough things to gain forgiveness from God. Nothing, because I'm already been tainted, right? I am not deserving. There is no amount of praying. There is no amount of serving a ministry. There's no amount of giving. There's no amount of righteousness that I can do now that can do anything to earn me forgiveness. And when Paul says you are not justified by your works, that's partly what he's talking about, is you cannot gain forgiveness by what you do. But also, in Romans 3, verse 27, "Then what becomes of our boasting?" It is, and we saw that in Ephesians also, "Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by a law of faith." Our boasting is excluded, meaning that I can never deserve to be in God's presence. I can never deserve to receive anything from God. And so when it says, "I am not justified by works," Paul is answering the question, can you deserve anything from God by your works? Nope. Can you gain forgiveness because of your works? Nope. You are not justified by your works. But when James is saying justifying, he's saying, does your works show you actually have faith? Yes. Do you see why they can have two different answers? Because they're answering two or three different questions. But again, just in case we might think, well, because I'm saved by faith, that means I can do whatever I want now. Again, we're still in Romans 3, verse 31. "Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law." And so the result is, me doing the right thing is not going to get me into heaven. It's not going to get me saved. It's not going to earn me any favor or forgiveness from God. However, because I am saved by faith in Jesus Christ, I will uphold this law. I will, because I am saved, I will pray. Because I am saved, I will come to church. Because I am saved, I will give. I will resist temptation because I am saved. faith does not oppose holiness. Romans 4, verse 5, again, possible contradiction. And to the one who does not work but believes in him who is justified, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted to him as righteousness. So the one who believes without doing the work is justified. But once again, we're going to see that Paul is answering different questions. Because in Romans 4, verse 2, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to, we see that word again, to boast about, but not before God. And so what is Paul answering the question of? Can you do works to earn being able to boast before God? No, you can't. You cannot do anything to earn that. Then verse 3 says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. That's how he was considered righteous before God. Romans 4 verse 4. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. Okay, so I should not believe that I have earned anything from God. Then Romans 4 verses 7 and 8. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are what? Forgiven. And whose sins are covered, blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Do you see in the, you are not justified by your works, what emerges again? I can't boast, and I can't get my forgiveness anywhere else but from God. And so if the question is, can I earn my forgiveness? The answer is no. Can I deserve anything from God? The answer is no. But can I show that I have genuine faith? Yes. Do you understand that? Do you see that? Now, part of the reason of what's going on is verse 10 of Romans 4. How then was it counted to him? Okay, so Abraham was made righteous, but how? How was it counted to him? Was it before or after he was circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. Did Abraham get circumcised? Yes, he did. But when did he receive God's redemptive work? Before the circumcision. You see, this whole justification by works has a lot to do with the order of things. When we get it wrong, we think, I'm going to get baptized in water, and then I will be saved. That's the wrong order. That's thinking that my works will justify me. But if I get saved and I give my life to Christ, then guess what? Because I've gotten saved, the Lord has saved me, I am now going to get baptized. You see the order there? So faith doesn't mean I do whatever I want. Faith still means I comply to God's design for my life, but I have faith in him first, and I receive his work into my life first. Then I am justified. Romans 6, 1 and 2, again, in case we think we're off the hook. Don't you love this? God talks grace, grace, mercy, mercy, grace, grace, forgiveness, and then he says, do stuff still. Because Romans 6 says, verse 1 and 2, again, same book. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And do you love the exclamation point there? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? And so we are not justified by our works, but we are still expected to do the works. Because when we step outside of God's design, everything starts to unravel. But when we step inside of God's design, everything goes according to the plan. Not that everything's perfect, but I have the ability to overcome and face anything this life can throw at me when I stand in this position. It's better to know that, I mean, it would be horrible to have the kind of faith to say, I'm only okay when everything's okay. Wouldn't it be horrible? Because everything's not going to always be okay. But a good faith is, you know what, give me a horrible diagnosis health-wise, take away all my money, destroy my house, have everybody leave me, but guess what? I'm still going to land on my feet because I have faith, because faith understands that this goes beyond my earthly life. Galatians 2:16, last contradiction, apparent contradiction. Yet, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law through faith in Jesus Christ, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. So I can't do anything to be justified before God. However, in Galatians 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, again, same letter, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you, if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. Galatians 5:6, he says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. So Paul's saying, listen, if you get circumcised, you're condemned. Why would he say that? Because actually, if you would research it later in the scripture, Paul has Timothy get circumcised just to make sure they are okay in a certain climate socially. But I thought if you get circumcised, you're condemned. Yes, if you're the Galatians and your thought is, if I get circumcised, that will save me. Do you see the problem? They thought getting circumcised will save them. So if you are praying, thinking you are praying your way into heaven, you're not in a good place. If you are studying the Bible, thinking you're studying the Bible in your way to heaven, you're not in a good place. If you are attending a church because you think if I keep coming to church, I'm going to save myself, you're not in a good place. That's not faith in Jesus Christ and his work. That's faith in you. And you can't save yourself because we cannot be justified by our works as far as being deserving before God or earning heaven or salvation or anything from him. However, Galatians 5:13 to 15, Paul says, again, same letter, that he said we're not justified by works. For you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. You know what the Spirit is? It's the lazy river. Don't earn your salvation. Don't earn your forgiveness. Don't muster up all your strength to achieve it. Step into the Spirit. Flow with what the Spirit's doing in your life. Follow the Spirit's leading, especially according to Scripture. Follow that, and you will experience so much liberty and joy and peace and power and fulfillment if you step into the river. But I don't have to step into that river to be saved. Well, that depends on what you think the river is. If you think the river is, I'm doing the works to get there, then sure, you can't be saved by that river. But if you think the river is me yielding to the Holy Spirit's work in my life, then that river will save you because the river is the work of God in your life. Galatians 6:1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. What is Paul saying? You're not saved by your works, but you make sure everybody's doing the works. Why? Because if you truly have faith, you will truly be doing the works. And why? Watch how this comes full circle. Do you remember what was the first thing that faith understands? Faith understands that there's a direct relationship between my actions and outcomes. And in the very letter that Paul says you're not saved by your works, he says these words in the same letter in Galatians 6. You ready for this? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from his own flesh corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit what? Eternal life. Faith understands the design, that there are outcomes to my actions. And so if I truly believe this, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to step into every bit of this. If stepping into this means going to church, I'm going to church. Not because that's going to save me, but because this is where I'm supposed to be, because I have faith. If I have faith, I'm going to read the Bible, study it, and pray. Not because I think that's going to save me or earn me something with God, because I believe this is where I'm supposed to be. This is where life is. This is where victory is. This is where hope is. This is where joy inexpressible and filled with glory is. This is where peace that surpasses all understanding is. This is where it's at in this design. And if I have faith, I jump inside the design. That's why work shows up. Not because I'm achieving anything, but because I'm receiving everything because I'm stepping into the lazy river. Have you ever had somebody tell you the Holy Spirit's like the lazy river? Not that the Holy Spirit is lazy, but because Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But some of you are really, really struggling to do this design thing. You're having a hard time doing it. And you can't figure it out because you're making all the plans, you're mustering up all your energy, but you can't figure out why it's not happening. Because the question is, not whether or not you're working hard enough, because we're not justified by our works, but have you stepped into the current of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? So will you stand with me? And worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Isn't that a glorious thing to consider? It's why there's hope in this gospel message. Because I don't have to have the answers. I can even be a mess in various ways. But if I step into the current of the river, he will take care of everything. But I have to actually be in the river. I have to actually be there. It's why when I look at people and they have no engagement in the church, I look at people and they have no knowledge of Scripture, I look at people and they're behaving very fleshly, I'm thinking, you don't have any of the freedom whatsoever. You're not in it. And you won't have any of the life, none of it, if you don't step into the current of what God is doing. But one thing, just one thing can throw the whole thing off. One thing. Didn't we see that? Was that last week? That James says that if we disobey one part of the law, we've disobeyed the whole. Why? Because one thing, because you can be doing all the right health choices you want to. You could be exercising. You could be eating vegetables all the time. But if every night in the middle of the night you get up and you start downing all that ice cream, it's undoing all the stuff you did. You can save a bunch of money. You can do all that stuff. But if you're just holding on to it for 6 months from now where you're just going to throw it all out the window again, you just ruined everything you did. One action. And so the Holy Spirit is asking you today, if you're struggling, what is your one thing? What is your one thing that's displacing all the other things? Because you were thinking, if I got enough covered here, then I'm going to be okay. That's not how this works. You don't just get partway in. What does Jesus say in Revelation? You're neither hot nor cold. And what he was saying was, you're not all in. You're not all in. And so what is the one thing in your life that's keeping you from being all in? Or maybe you're the kind of person that you're hoping, and you call that faith. You're hoping and hoping that things get better, but you're not contributing at all. You're not doing anything at all that God has called you to do. You're just sitting back and hoping that it just turns out well. Or maybe some of you've been calling faith striving and striving and striving and working harder and harder and harder and harder. That's not faith. That's not faith. Because if you're striving with all your might, but you don't have an intimate, loving, passionate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't have that connection, no amount of your strength is going to achieve anything. You need, what does Jesus say? Abide in the vine, and then you will bear good fruits. Then you will know joy. Then you will know life. And so you're here this morning, and you're struggling, and the question is, are you in the current of the Holy Spirit? In fact, one of the statements that Paul made in Titus 3, that passage that we're not saved by works, he says this of the Holy Spirit whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the eternal hope. All you have to do is step into the current. But faith puts its thoughts into action. So you want it. You want the victory. But will you step out of your seat and walk down to the altar and seek him for it? Again, the Holy Spirit's everywhere. The Holy Spirit's right where you are. The Holy Spirit's right here where I am. But faith doesn't just think it and hopes it becomes a reality. Faith thinks it and does everything that the Bible tells it to do to seek it. If you want fulfillment, if you want to see a change, if you want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you have to actually step out in faith. So will you seek him this morning? Thank you, Lord. I know that I plug this often, but I want to continue to plug our Wednesday night discussion group, because in there we're learning how to work some of this stuff out. If we didn't need so much direction and guidance and so many things to walk into, then why do we have such a lengthy document? There we go, Cindy's up. Aren't you glad Cindy's okay? If you didn't know, Cindy's health scare this week, but we're glad she's with us. But we're learning on Wednesday nights, because if we didn't need so much instruction, then why do we have such a lengthy book called the Bible? Because we need a lot of instruction, because there's a lot of things, there's a lot to this design that God has given us. And it could be, because it could be complicated sometimes, we can lose sight of things. And we have to know how to wage this fight that we're in. And so when I get knocked over, or my emotions are going all over the place, or I have some poor circumstances, then I need to know. See, part of the reason people don't know what to think about it is they don't know the Word enough to know how God views their circumstances. So that's why we study the Word. We study the Word so we know what God has to say about what it is we're currently facing. So many of us, we walk into the battle with no weapons. We have no idea what to do because we don't utilize His Word. Or sometimes it's because we've left ourselves all alone. We've not engaged in the church, or maybe we've attended, but we've not pursued relationships within the church, and we're doing it all alone. And God didn't, and that doesn't work that way. That's not how He designed it to happen. And so I have to jump in to these relationships, and sometimes they're awkward. Sometimes the relationships bring new problems, right? And so we have a hard time with that. But it works like this. I have this thing in front of me, and it hurts, it bothers me, it discourages me, it makes me sad, it makes me angry, it makes me whatever. Have you ever been there before? Okay. And what you do is, and this is what we've received as instruction in Psalms, what you do is you tell God every bit of that. You don't hold anything back. You don't say, well, God's too holy for that, or God's going to correct me on that. Maybe He will, but you just come and you say, God, I'm discouraged, disappointed, I think I'm losing my faith, I have no joy, I have no peace, and I'm losing my mind, and I don't know what to do. And if you ever wondered, well, what do I pray? That. You pray that. Every bit of that. And then you say, because I love that line that happens repeatedly in Psalms, why are you downcast within me, O my soul? You don't wait, because sometimes in the silence God wants to speak. But often we want like bells and whistles. We want like a thunderous voice from a mountaintop. But sometimes God's just waiting for you to just see what's right in front of you. Because if you've studied the Word, you can see it. You can see it. Sometimes our flesh doesn't want to accept it. You know, our flesh wants to be like, I'm just going to say the Word and all this is going to go away. But that's often not the way God wants you to handle it. He wants you to look right in the face of that thing. Because Paul said, please, get this thorn away from me. Please, take it away. And God said, nope. My grace is sufficient for you. Right. What did He mean by that? He meant you have the capacity to face that thing. It's an awesome compliment by God for you to suffer. You know why? Because if you are suffering, He is saying, I know you can do this. I know you can tackle this thing. And you're thinking, I'd rather not. I'd rather not. But God has confidence in what He's done in your life that you are able to do it. And then you say what Paul says in Philippians. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Not just God, but God working through me, right? And so I go to that and I say, listen, that health issue, I can face this thing. This relationship problem, I can face this thing. This emotional struggle that I'm in, these financial issues, these spiritual issues, whatever you find yourself facing, you tell yourself in your spirit, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And when you slip and you fail, you remember what not justified by works means. It means that me getting this perfectly is not the reason why I'm guaranteed to get to heaven. Me getting this perfectly is not the reason I get guaranteed to get acceptance from God every time I turn to Him. Do you know what gives me the guarantee? God Himself became a man, and what does Scripture say? He fulfilled every letter of the law. He did every bit of it for us. And then He took all the consequence of the failure of that on Himself. and he conquered it. He beat death and he rose from the dead. And so when you fail, when you have a moment of weakness and you give in to temptation or sin or whatever, and the devil comes to accuse you because he loves doing that. Have you ever had those thoughts come flooding in? You're too weak. If everybody else knew the way you were right now, what would they think? And you tell that devil, Jesus took care of that. I'm okay still. Yeah, but you did this and you did that and you haven't done this and you haven't done that, but Jesus took care of it. But Jesus took care of it doesn't mean that Jesus is going to keep doing everything for me. Jesus took care of it means I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so you have some people in your life that need to come to know Christ. And you're praying it happens, but you're not doing anything about it. Faith moves to action. You have people in your neighborhood that need Christ. You have people in this church that need your friendship. So if you believe it, do it. That's what's going to bring transformation. Not just praying, not just hoping and wishing that things will happen, but actually doing every bit of what God has called us to do. But we need the Holy Spirit, don't we? We need the work of Christ in our lives. We can't just muster up enough strength. We can't pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We have to keep believing, even when it doesn't seem to be working. You know, I think it's easy sometimes. I think it's more complicated, but sometimes I think it's easy to pastor a church that's just constantly growing. Because it's like believing in God when you have no problems. You know, like, look, all these people keep showing up. I have great faith. But no, great faith is when Elijah found himself alone in a cave after he just had a great victory, but he was under threat of his life. And God stepped in when he was weak, and he kept going forward. And the question is, will you keep moving forward? Because if you have faith, you will. It doesn't matter the diagnosis. It doesn't matter how bad it hurts. It doesn't matter how much you fail. You will keep going. That's what shows faith. It's that tenacity. You need to be that pain in the you-know-what to the enemy. Where he keeps thinking, I keep stepping on him, and they keep showing back up. You need to be like that to him. Amen? So, Lord, help us to do it. Help us to do it. Even the demons believe God and shudder, Lord. We don't want to be in that company. Help us to believe and show our belief by what we do. Help us to have faith in action. Help us to faith to believe that we can actually conquer in this life, not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, not because we have the capacity on our own, but because we have the work of the Spirit, the Word of God, and the body of Christ, all of that right behind us, giving us that backing. Help us, Lord, to flow in step with the Spirit. And we ask for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. We have food in the back. Hope you have a wonderful week. Step into your lazy river, amen? Have a good week.